So do I sense any nervousness out there? Do you sense any nervousness up here? When you got out of bed this morning, were you less than optimistic about the day ahead? Was there any reason to be? Did you think about the date? A few weeks ago, I was in an auto mechanic's shop requesting some repair on one of our old cars. And when the mechanic took out his schedule to look for a time that might work, he stated that, well, the first opening is on Friday the 13th. And a gentleman who was in the room responded audibly to the sound of those words. And I have to say that the date grabbed my attention as well. Surrounded as we are by some cultural sensitivities to that particular combination of day and number. The number 13, especially when it lands on a Friday, tends to make quite a few people jittery, as do other things: broken mirrors, open ladders, black cats. There are various things about which people feel superstitious. Superstition is that long word with a long history. Martin Luther made this bold statement: "Nothing is mightier than superstition. This is the king and emperor of all that is exalted in the world, but before God, it is an abomination." Man's superstitious tendencies have been around for a very long time and have manifested themselves in a variety of ways. The superstitions prevalent at the time of the Reformation appear to have been of a pseudo-religious type. In our times, prevalent superstitions perhaps could be said to be more of a generic type. Holding on to a rabbit's foot for good luck, knocking on wood to drive away bad luck, the concept of luck itself. Stated in a very broad way, perhaps superstition could be properly defined as the belief that everyday occurrences, or some occurrences in life, are controlled or governed by inanimate things. So, who is superstitious? Who has a natural tendency to believe that things are controlled by things? Well, everyone with human flesh. We can all fall into the deceptive grip of superstition. It doesn't take much, especially if we ever sense a cause and effect type of relationship. For example, if someone were to wear a certain garment on days when games happened to be won or tests were aced, it'd be fairly easy for that person to start developing the idea that maybe that piece of clothing has some kind of power to bring about good. Evidences of man's superstitious nature abound, from the presence of horoscopes in daily newspapers to the absence of 13th floors in some hotels. We are surrounded by superstitious displays. An example from the world of music that may also serve to illustrate: was a composer by the name of Arnold Schoenberg, and as I understand the account, after he had completed writing an opera and was in the titling phase, he had written this opera about Moses and Aaron, but discovered that when counting the letters of the words Moses and Aaron, they totaled 13. And even though he's someone who is considered to have been a genius by others, he was one who allowed superstition to get the best of him. He ended up dropping one of the A's in Aaron. There's some real irony in that, because if there is anyone who truly understood the futility of superstition, it is the Moses about whom he wrote in his opera. Our text for this morning, which properly deflates superstitious thought, is a psalm of Moses, Psalm 90, excerpts from which are the following. Speaking to the Lord, Moses was inspired to say, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So much for the validity of superstition. Its basic premise that things are controlled by mere things is deflated right off the bat with these words of Moses when he declares, "You are God." He establishes at the outset that there is only one God, a sole God, whose name is also the Lord. Events are controlled by someone, not by something. And the primary focus of the Lord's control is the earth in which we live. Moses speaks of the fact that God formed the earth and the world. He understood that God made all things, invisible, visible, not to abandon them, but to continue governing them. He who has made the world has no difficulty controlling its events. That's not to say, of course, that all things run as smoothly as we might like. Life does see troubles, ailments, challenges, difficulties. But they are not caused by fictitious bad luck, nor are they the result of some stars being out of alignment. Moses knew full well why difficulties develop as he speaks of people being consumed by God's anger. And what is it that sparks God's anger? Our sin which leads to death. You turn man to destruction, Moses added, and say, "Return, O children of men." It is our sin that has brought about death, as well as all the negative things that confront us as we make our way to the grave. As a matter of fact, as sinners, we deserve things far more difficult and disruptive and problematic than they are. We need look no further than to our own sinful flesh to understand why bad things do occur in this world. At the same time, we need look no further than the cross to realize that we can also expect many good things. It is there at the cross of our Savior Jesus that we learn of the deep mercy, love, and compassion which the Lord maintains for us. It is the mercy of God to which Moses looks in this psalm. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Despite our sin, Moses knew that we could be confident of good things to come our way and expect a myriad of blessings. He recognized that good things don't come to us by chance, but come from the one who loves to give good gifts to his children. He who spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not freely with him give us all things? Knowing then that we are under the control of a good and gracious and loving God, we can dismiss all superstition as irrelevant and bask in the freedom which such knowledge brings. Scripture directs us to pursue the various things to which we have been called with confidence, knowing that he will supply successes in their proper time and the right kind of successes. Rabbit's feet get us nowhere. The Lord is the one who is swift to bless. Knocking on wood does not drive bad things away. The Lord is the one who keeps truly negative things at bay. No earthly things need to be feared, for all things were made by our gracious and loving God, including Fridays that happen to land on the 13th. So may the Spirit deliver us from all superstition and bring us to an awareness of the super successes, the super blessings, the super life, which are ours in Christ. A hymn which speaks of his power and control over all is hymn 748, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 748, 1, 2, and 4. show.